This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Little Led Zeppelin. Ooh. Fabulous. Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 4, Jim Taddy subbing for Brian Hayes, Noodles and O-Dog. Now, that's a nice track.
Who is that, Jimmy?
Led Zeppelin. Let me see if I have the title right. Is that the Dürer Maker? No? What is it? When the Levee Breaks. Yeah, okay, well, whatever.
Why won't he come on the microphone? What's going on here? What is it, sign language back there?
limited communication.
We're on radio, Tatman.
He's got these little cards, you know.
Yeah. We're on radio. You can jump in. That's not Mulls back there, is it?
No, it's JP.
All right, well, JP, jump in. Like, yeah. No, have a voice.
I'll get it for the next one. I'll be the essentially radio quiz master, if
okay,
that's what we're
go.
Going for.
Wow,
there
that's
go.
A
now
bit of an elevation. I don't know if we could afford that.
No pay increase, obviously.
Yeah, okay. See that, no, Mulls?
Exactly.
New guy sits in the chair. He wants a bump already.
Well,
we're doing it for an hour. Unbelievable.
You can drop off some Timbits for him. He'll be fine. Oh. That used to be currency around there, Catman. Timbits.
Al's brother.
Yeah, Al's brother, the grappler, Mulls. There'd be a fist fight over the last one.
Al's brother just gave me the evils.
Speaking of that, Al's brother, you could chime in as well because you got rinsed again on the Sunday night.
The two of you guys are on a cooler. Like, what did Hayes tweet out? Like, you guys lost on the spread, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, the spread was 7.5, and it was, what, a 3-point game, 4-point game?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Wow, you got rinsed again. Like, that's like 10 games in a row. Wow.
Now we got Tampa tonight. I think they're giving 4 to Los Angeles. Jerry Goff and company, so I don't know. We'll touch on it later in the show, but I'm sure we'll continue our streak. I'm all over Tampa, though.
That's
I'm
one of my favorite names, by the way. Goff.
Goff?
Yeah.
So are you doing tonight's game then or not?
Al?
Oh,
Al's brother?
I mean, if Hayes is down for it, I think we still got to do tonight's game. I mean, O's got to pick it anyway, so we might as well, I think, at this
we'll
point.
We'll circle
Hayes
back
game.
On it, Al's brother. We'll circle back on it.
You 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, 6 o'clock hour. You sit and let it stew for a little bit, and you come up with your number and your pick. And we'll see if we can maybe lose another one. Who knows? We'll keep the streak alive.
No, we're going to turn it around tonight. Tonight, the streak ends, I'm telling you.
Wow,
okay.
I didn't deliver that with a lot of gusto. I don't know if I believe you.
It's happening. I'm telling you, it's happening tonight. I feel good. I'm going to crunch the numbers, and we'll come back with a team that I almost guarantee victory.
That sounds like bad news. I mean, that's something your accountant says when you get audited. Going to crunch those numbers. We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Didn't sound very.
I'm not liking my chances, Jimmy.
No. So are you going with the Rams?
We have to wait for Al's brother. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a Brady guy. Sorry, I forgot. Forgot about the switchover.
Well, I'm happy for Brady. I'm very sad that the Patriots, their season's slipping away. Like, it's gone now, is it not?
Absolutely. I don't think that. Who did they play yesterday? I didn't even pay
attention
to that.
They lost to J.J. Watt in the Houston Texans.
Yeah. That's game over. Transition year, maybe, but I'm not a fan of them anymore, Jimmy, as you know.
Yes.
I switched to Tampa Bay, and I'm a Buccaneer.
How do you do that? I mean, how do you switch teams?
Because I'm just a casual fan. Like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It's not like I'm diehard where my dad's from New England, and he used to be the guy that worked at the Patriots practice. It doesn't matter to me. I like Tom Brady. He went to Tampa. I switched teams. It doesn't matter.
It was always the one guy at school that would do that, and we wouldn't talk to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the team won the cup. Yeah, I'm a Montreal fan. Get out of here. Go away.
Yeah. Come on, Jimmy.
Front runner.
You're circling back to yourself that nobody would talk to you, and that's what you're thinking about.
I think the Tat Man was like the popular guy. You had a mustache when you were 18 years old, right?
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
The guy in high school with a mustache was always popular.
Last year, the last year of high school. Well, it depends on the time. If you did that now, maybe not so much. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Ray Ferraro. Ray, how are you? Welcome back.
I am good. I'm doing good. I do. You know, this is a day I've looked forward to for a long time to jump back on.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't wait.
Ray,
no sleep last night.
Are you still teeing it up in Van, or is golf season over?
No, I haven't played, right, because I had my knee.
Well,
because
of your knee, yeah, but could you technically still play golf?
Oh, yeah, guys are playing. I'm next week December 1st is the date I had circled on my calendar. I'm going to go hit some wedges next week. So if you were out here, oh, you could play for sure.
Wow.
100%.
It's sad day. It's game over here. We got a snowfall, and it's probably going to be ugly for about 5 months straight here.
Oh, man, I saw Dregs put something on his Instagram, and I was like, oh, man, does that not look good? It looks good up in the mountains around here, you know, where people are up skiing. I mean, I love it up there. It looks really nice, but I grew up in the snow. I've gotten soft. I don't love the snow anymore.
We made a snowman last night. The kids obviously were fired up, and I had a bit of an incident with it. I'm not a big outdoors person, but I went out there to try and help, and we didn't have a carrot, you know, for the snowman's face or whatever. So I brought a piece of corn on the cob, just a corn on the cob for the nose. And then there were no eyes, so I just grabbed like two like Oreo cookies and jammed them in. And then we couldn't make a mouth, so I went into the garage and grabbed some red spray paint.
Oh.
And the spray paint went on a little thick, so the snowman looks like he's crazed and like foaming at the mouth. It didn't go so well. Steph was not happy with it, put it that way.
Well, I think you were on the right track there early until, you know, like the corn on the cob, that, you know, I mean,
it's creative.
That's the only thing I thought. I was like, I looked in the fridge, there was no carrots. I'm like, oh, there's a corn on the cob. So I like grabbed that, and it looked decent. It's a yellow nose. It's tough. And we put a leaf scarf on it. You know those free scarves that you got at Air Canada Center or at Scotiabank?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one of the free leaf scarf and the leaf hat. But it looks like a crazy snowman with like a red face. Like, it's terrible. It's not good. These poor kids.
Well, the worst part about this, Noodles, is if O's scouting report on the weather's correct, that baby's in your front yard a long time.
I hope not. I think it's supposed to be nice this week anyways, isn't it? By like Wednesday, it's supposed to be like 6 or 7. It'll be gone. I think most of it's melted already right now. I'm looking out the window. It's in tough shape right now. It's on life support if it had it.
Ray, you're all set for the World Juniors?
Oh, no. No, okay. Not set. Jim, I can't say I'm set. I was watching, watched last night and, get a better feel for the kids that, you know, we've been making some calls on and trying to understand, but it's cool to see them again. And then just when you start getting a handle, Gordon and I are going in this weekend to do the games in Red Deer where they play the Canadian college guys. So you start to get a handle on the Canadian team, and then they dump 200 names from other countries on you, and it's time to get back to work. We got a ways to go here, but it's just so, honestly, it's really kind of nice. Not kind of nice. It's nice to have some purpose to the day, to do a little work, to do a little research, to, you know, like have a goal that, hey, we got games coming up here. And so it's been a long time since that's been the case.
Ray, refresh my memory on, it seems like this team's together for a long time. Is that because they haven't played? Is that because it's just a unique year? Why are they together so early leading up to the World Juniors? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What's your take on the whole thing?
Well, they don't really have a choice, right? Lots of the players haven't had anywhere to play, only the Quebec League, really, for the most part. And the college guys have played a game or two, yet, like Dylan Holloway came from the University of Wisconsin. He played two games. Now he's got to come to Canada and quarantine for 14 days. So he's skating around with four other guys on the ice. So like it's like he hasn't played yet. So they played two inter-squad games this weekend. They got another one tomorrow. They'll cut down to 30 or so players. And this year they cut to 25. They're going to take 25 to the tournament. And it because guys haven't played, these kids are, they're like everybody else. They haven't, except the NHL teams that were in the bubble. They haven't played since March. most of them. So, you know, they're it's a weird year, though, like, of course. But, you know, they're trying to make an impression, trying to make the team. They're trying to bang the rust off of not playing and, you know, and do it pretty quickly. There was, you know, like in the game last night, I mean, Kirby Doc looked like he had been in the NHL last year.
Like, yeah, you know, like he's cool. Good. He dominated. Like, that kid and, can play.
Him and Bo and Byram were, like, just standout guys. And they're going to – and they will be for Canada. But, of course, once you get by the first 12 or so, 14 players, it's going to be a hard team to make. There's a lot of really, really good players that are kind of all the same, and it's tough to separate because nobody's had a good first half of the year because there hasn't been a first half of the year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, nobody's really had a chance to stand out. So say you stand out at, you know, the first week of camp, well, so what, right? Like then the games start and you got six games and you know, you're not going to play them all and you hope you do enough in your games to, you know, to make the coaching staff think you're a good idea.
Ray, where were you at with the coach sending Doc and Cousins off, you know, because they showed up, I guess, on time for practice?
Well, it probably could have been done a different way. It didn't look like it was too, you know, there was no confrontation to it. Looked like they were sitting there having a chat, and, you know, maybe that could have been done under the stands. Or maybe the whole point was to have it done where everybody could see it. So
right.
All the other players realized, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a couple of fringe players. It's Byfield and Doc. So he turns those guys around and everybody else sees, okay, wait a minute. He's turning them around. I better make sure I'm on time. It was one of those things I thought, Noodles. It was like, it was an easy thing to do to make your point so early in camp. That now, I mean, there's no question. If practice is at 11 o'clock and you're supposed to be out there 5 minutes early to skate around, well, be 6 minutes early. Just make sure that's not you.
Ray, I don't think anybody's really sure of the conversations or the updates with the NHL. They kind of have to get moving to get this thing sorted out, don't they?
I was told they need 30 days, you know, to get to the start point. So, you know, whatever today is, we're kind of at the end of November here and, you know, so December 1st. And so I do think they have to get going, but I just think it's unrealistic to think that they could put all these moving parts together, including this negotiation with the Players Association, which I can only imagine is going really well. you know, like how are they going to put that together by January 1st? I have in my head, and I have no information on this. It seems right to me, but that old 48-game schedule that we had,
yeah,
that seems like it's it. And one of the reasons is if the rinks are starting empty, why would the owners want to play 60 games where their buildings are empty longer as opposed to pushing it back and get 48 games when hopefully you can have more people in? Now, maybe the TV deal and the advertising money is significant enough that they need the 60 games, but otherwise, why would you want to play 12 more games if you're the owners? That's six more home games for you with the Zamboni driver as the only guy watching.
I mean, it makes more sense that you start up after the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, except they don't want to give the, you know, the NBA a clean runway. Although I don't really know how much that matters. That's why I think they play, you know, like I'm realistically optimistic, I would say, that they don't want to just fall off the map.
Yeah.
Right? That you're a non-entity. They don't want to be playing in July and August. We saw how that went, like, ratings-wise. The Super Bowl is always a target for the NHL because the attendance goes way up in the latter part of the season. So if it's January 15th or even February 1st, you know, honestly, guys, I don't see it as much of an issue, really.
I agree with you, Ray, and here's why. I say there's no chance it's January 1st. I think it's more like the 15th of January, or you push it to February 1st, but the 48-game schedule seems realistic to me, and if you're going to be going a little bit like baseball, you might have to factor in some games being, you know, either canceled or pushed around like baseball had early on with, was it Florida and St. Louis?
At one point, Noodle, St. Louis had 5 games played, and the rest of the league had 20.
Right. Like, there might be a scenario, if you aren't creating these two-week bubbles or whatever that's been thrown around, if it looks like it's just going to be weekend series in separate buildings, then there might be some positive cases. Not might. I'm sure there will be at some point. The NFL's had them. You know, in non-bubble situations, I think every sport has had some form of positive cases that they've had to either, you know, shut down or move the games around. Even the NFL, didn't the Patriots have to move a couple days?
Yeah, there's some games that get moved from, you know, from Sunday to Monday. And then I think there was, they moved it, they ended up with a couple of Thursday games 1 week. There is a, like, almost a relentless criticism of this whole process, trying to get it on the ice. I'm not talking about the CBA negotiations. That's a whole other discussion.
Right.
But it seems really easy to nitpick, hey, they should do this, or they should do this, or they should do this. Like, look, they'd like to play as many games as they can, too. I'm sure they would. However, can you imagine the complications to scheduling just about anything in this at this time?
Right.
Like, there's just, it's just, you can sit and criticize. I don't see anybody coming out with a great idea of how to do it and how to do it safely that doesn't involve an advancement in testing, whether it be the rapid tests or the vaccine. Like, that's the only way this thing gets done way easier. And we're all kind of waiting for the same thing, not just for hockey, but for life. Like, we got to wait for it. And, hell, I hope it's next Tuesday, but we know it's not going to be.
Ray, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but do you think that this whole COVID thing and the guys that were not in the play-in that haven't played, like, I was thinking this might clip a few guys and maybe put a stop to their career if they're way out of shape. But I don't really know if even way out of shape is in the game right now, because these guys are just built different. But if, you know, guys might get off track here and not get her back on the track because it's such a long time.
Well, I remember the first lockout, I want to say there was like 50 guys that you would have thought were playing, and they just, poof, they were gone. So yeah. Not only are they old, I don't think you're wrong at all, but like those guys that might not be able to get the wheels back, but there's also going to be guys that probably would have been in a position to fight for a job maybe on the lower half of the roster. They're going to get replaced by a young guy who's making the league minimum. Like, that's going to happen, too. And I think there's going to be real downward pressure on the bottom half of rosters here. And there's going to be a lot of players, you know, halfway through the season, we're going to go, hey, where'd that guy go?
Yeah.
And the answer is going to be, he just never made it back.
Yeah, doesn't have a job. You're right, but I mean, I keep waiting for the, like, everyone's talking about, well, you know, Chara, like, I think Boston's moving away from Chara. I don't think so. I think they have a handshake agreement, and they're trying to save some money for potentially a guy like maybe Mike Hoffman or somebody else.
Jamie, even if they were moving away, the guy's 42 years old, for crying out loud. I know, but he can't play forever.
You're right, but I saw this big debate, like, oh, there's interest from the Leafs, and there's interest from this. Zdeno Chara's playing for Boston, or he's not playing for anybody. Like, I don't think it's a scenario where he's going to sign, you know, just with another team just for the sake of keep playing. Like,
well, you could have said the same thing about Joe Thornton. If you said Joe Thornton was going to come for minimum wage to Toronto and not San Jose, I would have told you were nuts.
Yeah, that's true. But San Jose has zero chance of winning the Cup next year, I would say. Or maybe 1%, because, you know, you never know. But it's a little different. Boston, if they are healthy and things push back, I think Marchand was on a 4-month, and Pasternak was on a 5-month timeline, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And that dates back to September. So those guys might be healthy by the time things come around. I don't know if Tuukka Rask is going to play. There's a lot of questions in Boston, but I still think that they'll have a very, very good team.
I just can't. I can't. When you say that about Chara, I can't imagine him playing somewhere else. Just the visual of it somewhere else. But why not? If they got no money in Boston, and you think he could be your third pair guy, and he wants to do that, you want him to kill penalties for you. I mean, he still is 6'9". You know, like he'd still be able to kill penalties for you. But you know, is he a top pair guy, top four guy? Probably not anymore.
No, but I just think that they are probably going to – they've got X amount of dollars, and they're going to try and sign one more person, and whatever's left over, Big Z gets. That's, to me, what – you know, maybe a handshake deal. Ray, I wanted to head to a different – I guess down a different path, but I don't know if you guys think this is cool or not, but I love the fact that Austin Matthews and McDavid are skating together in Arizona. I don't know why. I just – you know, superstars, when you see guys train together like that, I'm almost thinking like McDavid will be working on a shot and maybe Matthews will be trying to, you know, change a little bit of a skating stride, something, learning off of each other.
I think about the other guys in the league saying, oh, my God, what the hell are they doing? And I'm out here with a bunch of stiffs. Like, that's what I think. Like, these guys are out there wheeling around, doing moves and pushing the pace and pushing each other. If you're just with some random East Coast League guys at a dark rink, you're like, man, what am I doing? These guys are way ahead of the game. Ray, you could chime in, but I think it's fantastic that they're both doing it.
I think it's amazing. Certainly a sign of the times, right? Because through the same agency that, you know, they're represented and they put this together. I liked the part of the story with when the word started getting out, other guys are like, hey, I want to go out there too. And
yeah.
And so, you know, that's quite a group, it sounds like, they've put together. And, you know, like back in the day, like, you know, there was not this kind of training, of course, or this kind of odd year. But, you know, could you imagine, like, would Gretzky and Lemieux have gotten together and been on the ice and what they could have taken from each other, because their brilliance is, you know, was different than a lot of other guys. I mean, let's picture us on the ice with those guys, you know, back in our day when we could play a little bit. Like, what the hell were we going to tell Austin Matthews? Hey, your lace is too long?
Well, what I think of, Ray, is those grizzled old veterans when we came into the league, can you imagine bringing those plastic thingies out on the ice with the stick and the, like, guys would have just crushed them in half and broke them in half and thrown them over the boards.
The stick handling thing, as soon as you started talking about that, my first thought was someone would skate by and slash that little stick, and it would have just gone torpedoing into the stand.
Yeah, and then split the main thing in half and then thrown it all over the glass, and then it would have been, okay, let's scrimmage.
My first NHL practice, one of the older guys in Hartford, we're skating around in warm-up. He comes up to me and he says, if you sweat in the first half hour of practice, it's your own fault. My first.
I love
And I'm, you know, like, I'm all nervous energy. I got to skate. And I'm like, now I'm looking around like, are these guys even trying? I don't know. Like, you know, like, but it wasn't like today. I mean, it's pretty cool to think of what those guys can do. There's another thing to this, too, and it's not exactly, you know, where they're skating, but the players today spend so much money on themselves, whether it's nutrition or extra training or advancements in training. And some of the lower end players, the players just getting in or at the bottom end of the scale, they can't spend the same money. Like, there's a disparity there too, that a guy that's making $10 million, like, he can spend whatever he wants on himself. LeBron James spends $1 million a year on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's of course, when, you know, even just a few years ago, but certainly when we were playing, the only money you spent was, you know, for whatever your trainer cost, but also to, you know, chip in for the ice time.
I spent 500 grand, but it was on travel and dinners.
I want to do an audit. That would be a story.
You wouldn't want to see that one, Jimmy boy.
That man, that wouldn't. That's not an audit sheet, a balance sheet that you want to see without shaking your head. But I think it's awesome, guys. I mean, even thinking back, like, look at how Nathan MacKinnon has taken off, and he trains with Sid in the summer, does he not?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, learning from one of the best, if not the best. And I know they're it's a unique story because they're from the same city and stuff, but can you imagine the little things that Nathan MacKinnon could pick up off of Sidney Crosby and how to how to act, how to, you know, just how the league, how to, the cadence of the league, exactly, how to work.
Here's one thing I will say before I go. This is just to point out to everyone that's not a goalie how knuckleheadish you guys are, Noodles. They hauled Buddha out of retirement. Hey, Peter, do you want to play goal? Yeah, that's great. And he tells the story of Matthews, who shoots a puck like a bowling ball, hitting him right in the forehead. And he goes, that's all right. He's trying to score. Wait a minute. You're retired for 2 years. Who the hell wants that to happen?
I know.
What is wrong with you guys, Noodles?
I threw my pads in the river. I don't go in net anymore. Like, there's no chance that they could talk me getting back in the net. And they wouldn't want that stand-up goaltender. They'd just shoot on the ice and score. It'd be ridiculous.
I read that today, and I'm like, Peter, you're 38 years old, man. You just got hit in the forehead, and you're like, it's okay?
Yeah, it's not okay.
Crazy, man. No, not okay.
Ray, thanks very much.
Have a good one, guys. Enjoy the day. See ya.
Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, at Ray Ferraro TSN is the Twitter account, and Ray joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in person or online at MapleToyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid. You know, the guys
felt like a locker room discussion with former players having a little chat there. It felt like a locker room type talk.
I think it was engaging. I loved listening to it. I didn't want to get in your way. What I would be concerned about is a guy on the seven teams that did not play in the summer, and if they play, let's say they started February 1st, then that player wouldn't have been in an NHL game for what, 11 months?
11 months. That'd last
be,
game.
That would be dreadful.
Yeah, last NHL game was March 11th.
There's going to be a couple of guys. I don't think there's going to be a guy showing up looking like, you know, a blimp. But there's going to be a couple of guys that have a hard time getting it back on track. Because sometimes you can trick yourself into thinking, man, I got a bunch of time. I got a bunch of time. I got a bunch of time. And then guess what, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Time's up.
Time's up. That's right. End of the segment. Thank you very much for that. Marcellus Wiley is next. We're talking the NFL. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, TSN 4, streaming on TSN1050.ca, the TSN app, and your home speakers. So let's talk NFL now. Bring in Marcellus Wiley, former NFLer, FSN 1 host. Marcellus, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's it going up there?
It's cool and snowy, but it's great. What did you make of the Raiders-Chiefs game last night? I mean, those two teams have interesting chemistry, don't they?
Yeah, man. Styles make fights, and you can see that's an interesting matchup, especially for the Chiefs in terms of how they have only one blemish on their record, and it's coming from the Las Vegas Raiders, and it almost was two blemishes by that same team. Redemption was in the air, but we saw the Chiefs hold on because of that firepower that they possess and because they have Patrick Mahomes. As good as Derek Carr has played this year and as well as he's played, actually outperformed Patrick Mahomes head-to-head in these matchups. He's still not Patrick Mahomes. So they just left too much time on the clock when it comes to playing against a firepower like the Kansas City Chiefs. So it was a tough matchup. You can see that the Chiefs don't have the same issues with other opponents, but a team that is playing good defense, well coached, good quarterback, and a strong running game is going to pose problems for the Chiefs. So it just seems like one of those matchups that you don't want to see. But other than that, Chiefs are still the Chiefs.
Marcellus, when you see a young quarterback like Burrow go off like that, and apparently his ACL is done, his MCL is done, I hate seeing it for anybody, but how do you handicap the chances? This is just his first year in the league, and we don't even know what is his true 100% veteran kind of, you know, mature guy can be, but how do you handicap his chances of getting back to perfect again out there? I just don't see it. I hate seeing it to a young quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting. The technologies have changed how we look at players and their injuries and also their responses and rebounding from that injury. So I think you have to also change your fortune and how you have projected this to go forward. Think about it. There was a day when Adrian Peterson got his ACL and came back in the same calendar year. We're seeing that happen more and more. When Adrian Peterson did it, he was a pioneer for doing it. But because of the technology, because of all of the resources these guys have at their disposal, it's a different response. It's a different prognosis. It's a different rebound when it comes to him. I think he's going to be fine. The toughest part about an injury, interestingly enough, is not the physical injury. It's the mental trauma that comes from that injury. And will you ever trust yourself to put yourself in that same position or other dangerous, hazardous positions going forward? So coming off an injury, I had a few surgeries in my day. I was quote-unquote injury-prone. The toughest part wasn't doing the rehab and going through that process. The toughest point is when you have to trust yourself to go sixth gear one more time. Like, just go out there and throw caution to the wind and be your old self. But I think he's young enough and he hasn't played long enough where he'll still throw caution to the wind. Those young guys rebound differently than the old cats.
Marcellus, are you a believer in the Steelers yet at 10-0, or you still need a little bit more? I know last week I asked if Big Ben should be getting some love, and you talked about the schedule being a little softer and stuff like that, which I agreed with, but are they starting to creep into a spot where you're real comfortable with them and how they're playing?
Nope, not yet.
Come on, man, they're 10-0.
They're 10-0, and I respect them. I think they're good, but not great, and certainly beatable if you look at it. Their schedule is just interesting. Those wins, man, outside of that little stretch they had, week 6 through 8, where they played Cleveland, they played Baltimore and Tennessee, and still a close game in there, obviously, with Tennessee and Baltimore only lost by 4. The close games there, which, you know, gives support to your argument. But there are 7 other games where I'm looking at those wins, and even a close win against Dallas. You're in a nail-biter with the Dallas Cowboys, and you're supposed to be this unbeatable, undefeated team. I don't know about the Steelers. They have to play Baltimore again this week. We'll see how that plays out. Just divisional games and see how they play out. The schedule gets a little more difficult. It supports what I'm saying, which is let them beat up on some of these winning teams, and we'll see going forward. I'm getting closer to you, but not all the way there yet, brother.
Marcellus, you just mentioned Baltimore, and I'm sure they had aspirations of a possible Super Bowl this year after their quarterback wins the MVP, blah, blah, blah. But they don't look good right now. And their MVP said the other team just seemed like they wanted it a little more. Those comments got to be concerning for a team who had high aspirations going into the season.
Yeah, I think the aspirations is what actually is undermining them more than anything. Those expectations, how they can build that pressure, and you're always going to be judged based on who you were last year. They won 14 games last year. People expected them to be better. I don't know how. You're not going to win more than 14 games, odds are, in the NFL. Second of all, you had a unanimous MVP. So guess what happens to any MVP outside of Peyton Manning the next year? They get worse. Like, even Patrick Mahomes, after his MVP campaign and 50 touchdowns, he didn't throw 50 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson wins the next MVP as the leader with 36 passing touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes was injured and didn't play as well. And that noise right there, not separating the signal from the noise, that's what's getting in their way, and that's what gets in a lot of teams' way. Who are we versus who we should be? They need to leave that conversation of who they should be out of it and figure out ways that they can go out there and win ball games when it matters most, get into the playoffs, and then win those games. I still believe in them. They certainly have a little off of the fastball from last year. But yesterday was more on the defense than it was even on Lamar Jackson in the offense. They had an 11-point lead in the third quarter. With that defense, the number one scoring defense, you're supposed to win that ball game. So, like you said, there are a few issues with this team, but nothing that puts them, in my eyes, in grave danger.
Let's end with the Rams and Bucks tonight. What are your thoughts?
Ooh, this is going to be fun to watch. Love it when it's a great matchup on Monday night. I think the Bucs will win this game, but look for the Rams to really pose some issues, especially up front. We all know about Aaron Donald and his defensive line. But the Bucs, it's interesting as they're going through their growing pains. So there are some ups and there are a lot of highs, but there are some lows as well. You got to remember, this team wasn't together this offseason. Compromised training camp, learning everything on the fly. And as great as Tom Brady is, they already have 7 wins, and that's the same amount they had in their entire season last year. They're still learning each other. They're still learning this system fully. But I still think that they will have enough firepower, all those weapons, to get over the Rams, even though the Rams are going to be a good threat against them.
Marcellus, the Buccaneers, I'm a Brady guy. I switched my fandom from the Pats to the Bucs. Yes, I did that. Wow. Do you think if they put it – I know, it's. I don't care. I'm a former professional athlete myself, and I just don't care. Like, I'm allowed to do it. It's just – it's one of those things, man.
Right.
Do you think if they put it all together, they could be a serious contender? Is that what they need? They just got to put it all together at the right time?
Yeah, they do. Think about it. Outside those New Orleans games, New Orleans may have their number, just that matchup. We were talking about the Raiders versus the Chiefs. The Raiders look better against the Chiefs than they do against other teams, despite both teams being good. I think that's the same situation here when you're talking about those matchups. So, yeah, I like Tampa Bay a lot. I am certainly rooting for them, and I see what they have there in terms of weaponry and what they're going to be able to do going forward once they gel together. There's a trust that comes from playing with someone multiple years, or at least in this situation, multiple games, where they can start to have that unspoken language. So you can just look at the guy across from you, look at the guy next to you, and realize what he's going to do. Right now, they're still in that stage where they're spelling out everything that they're doing, not having that nonverbal communication. That will come with the repetitions, the chemistry, and the trust. But I think it's going to strike at the right time, and they're going to hit the playoffs hot. And that's going to be one of the contenders you got to deal with.
Where were you at with the Packers blowing a 28-14 lead heading into the second half?
Yeah, you know, you got to look at the Colts, and that's a real team, especially on defense. And Phillip Rivers is a legit quarterback. So I think a lot of people were writing him off prematurely. He's come into a situation where they're known for great quarterback play and has kept everything above board. So I think that the Colts are a real opponent that not everyone nationally, internationally was fully respecting, but now they realize, oh, the Colts are a good team, and they have their own Super Bowl aspirations. But Green Bay is going to be right there as well. Look at the NFC, just the teams we just named in Green Bay, Tampa Bay. The Rams are in that conversation, maybe on a different tier. You just got to look at these real contenders out there and realize that no perfect team exists, including the AFC, including Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, which is going to make it an interesting playoff year because I don't see a clear-cut favorite. I think most people will put smart money on the Chiefs, but even them against the Raiders, as we saw earlier in the year and a close one yesterday, they have to be on notice as well. It's going to be a tough year to win it all.
Well, if you want flawed football teams, go to the NFC East. That's a disaster, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if we have enough guys between you guys, your production staff, and mine, but we could put 11 together and maybe give it a run in terms of trying to get some wins in the NFC East. We call it the NFC Least right now because it's just that bad. I think 5 wins gets you this division, 6 for sure. But we'll see because I think the Cowboys right now, everything is going to strike at the right time. Andy Dalton coming back, looking good, throwing 3 touchdowns yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott finally getting a 100-yard rushing performance. He hadn't had one all year long. The defense since week 7 has been a number 11th ranked defense, almost top 10 for one of the worst defenses we saw earlier in this season. So I think it's all starting to strike, starting to hit at the right time for the Cowboys to win that sorry division.
Marcellus, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right, brothers. Take care, guys. Stay warm, too.
We will. We'll cuddle up, even though we're in different spots. Marcellus Wiley, our NFL insider. You know, that NFC East, the leading percentage is 350, 3-6-1 for the Eagles. Everybody else is 3-7. What a disaster.
Imagine like trying to pump your teammates up, saying, guys, we just have to do this and that and get in, and someone will be waiting for you to absolutely rip your face right off. It's just it's pathetic. It's pathetic all the way around. It's one of those things. The Cowboys, for some reason, they just get your attention. They're polarizing. You got to watch the Cowboys. But when the other ones are on, I just can't even watch it. That Philadelphia team playing against the Browns yesterday, that was a flat-out joke, and people in Philly are losing their minds.
Yeah. Was
losing it.
Was that last week where is it Doug Peterson, right? The intro of him getting interviewed in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The host rinsed
Jimmy,
him.
Do you want to hear it, Jimmy? I don't know if JP has it, but this is 101 radio of not how to bring a guest in.
It's got nothing to do with the song, right?
No.
Do we have it? JP? He'll find it in the commercial break.
He'll find it, but it's terrible. Like they have a poll basically saying, whose fault is it?
And it's Philadelphia.
70% of the fans were like, yeah, it's the coach's fault. And they're like, let's go to the coach, Doug Peterson. Hi, welcome in. He's like, thanks a lot. Thanks for that intro.
It's not good, Jimmy. We'll let you listen to it after the break.
They blew the Santa Claus parade there. Come on. I'm going to petition to get my Lions moved to the NFC East. They would lead at 4-6 with a 400 percentage. That's their problem. They're in the wrong division. Coming up next, we'll have an open segment, then Joe Bowen at the top of the next hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 4, also available on TSN1050.ca, the TSN app, and your home speakers.
So, Jimmy, let me set the scene for you. As a longtime radio personality, bringing in numerous guests, this is how they bring in Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach. JP, play the clip.
Who do you blame the most for the Eagles' 10-point loss to the Giants? 72% coaching.
Head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Angelo. Thanks for the lead-in. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry. That was
awesome. That just puts me in a great mood today. Already in a good mood. I appreciate it.
Question is, who would you play that for, and who would give you the click, the hang-up noise?
Who and what? Like who?
That was Mike Babcock. He would hang up for sure.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people would not have that sense of humor at all.
No, Belichick would have just thrown his phone out the.
There'd be nothing. Silence.
No. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think, like, there are some coaches that'd be gracious. John Tortorella would say, go to hell and hang up. For sure.
I would think 80% of all current coaches would hang up the phone on that one right
there. If I was being interviewed like that and somebody said, the backup goaltender who's been a disaster this season or whatever and lost the game last night, and here he is, Jamie McLennan, I'd just hang up. Like, this guy's doing, unless it's a paid gig or it's mandatory for him to go on that show, I would have hung up.
Well, it's likely a paid gig.
Well, I guess then you got
to. Why does a head coach of an NFL team need to go on a paid gig thing for a radio station?
Never been able to figure out that one. I have to do some business here. Black Friday is on now at your Chevrolet dealer right now. For a limited time, only get great offers across the lineup, plus a $500 Black Friday bonus on most models. But hurry, this offer ends November 30th.
You couldn't have waited until there was enough time.
No, there's not enough time. There's like 30 seconds left. I had to.
Take it away.
I want you guys to get your money. You know, it's
nothing
to me.
If you were so horned up to get in our way there. Go
like
ahead.
The building's
and you finish,
on fire. Hold on a second here. I got to get this ad in.
Yeah. Hold on.
Take us to break, Jimmy. Take us to break.
Well, we've got another 10 seconds before we have to worry about that.
Oh, it just hits a clock, best in the business. Hitting the clock, eh?
All right. Okay, that's good enough. Joe Bowen next at the top of the hour. And then we have more Yes Guy, No Guy. This is Overdrive. Stay with us.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives, like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.